Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I got Swayed at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Here's the lineup in just a moment. Nan Su, senior investigative reporter for the Epoch Times. Judd Garrett is right around the corner with his latest cheap morality. And then in the second hour, Selwyn Duke with all of his latest, including Dress 'em Down. Oh, yes. Hey, what is the real purpose for the new China Committee in the House of Congress? Well, the Epoch Times investigative journalist takes a closer look at what the newly formed committee might be looking into following a turbulent battle to get a Speaker of the House appointed. Congress appears to be moving forward on a new initiative, a committee that will take a closer look at the actions of China. Both Republican and Democrats came to some sort of agreement in regards to losing trust for the country, especially with all that's happening with its growing COVID cases. But it goes deeper than that, according to Fox News. Quote, "We spend decades passing politics and policies that welcome China into the global system," said newly elected Kevin McCarthy. "In return, China has exported oppression, aggression, and anti-Americanism. Today, the power of the military and economy are growing at the expense of freedom and democracy world," unquote. There is a bipartisan consensus that the era of trusting communist China is over. But there are questions surrounding what the true motivation of the committee will be, especially with the GOP involved. And here to talk to us right now about this matter is the Epoch Times investigative reporter Nan Su. He's written several pieces talking about the state of China and the CCP. And, of course, his expertise certainly welcomed in this matter. Hey, welcome back, Nan. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chuck. Thank you for having me today.
Let me ask you, what do you think are the big reasons that Congress has put together this committee? Is it political, economic, or perhaps something else?
I think the main reason is the security. It's really the security reason, the security to protect the lifestyles of our future generation. That's very important. And you look at the name of the committee, it's not, you know, a China committee. It's like the competition with the Chinese Communist Party. It's very specific. So they really look at the regime, the Chinese Communist Party, as a threat to the lifestyle of our future generation, which is an incredible move. And I, if you ask me, I would say these committees should have been established a long time ago.
Yeah. Do you think there is concern over China's military power? I know a recent report did indicate, you know, that the Chinese Navy has surpassed that of the United States in terms of battleships.
Yes, excuse me. It's not just the military; it's overall the threat in pretty much every aspect. I usually say if you compare with the Chinese communist regime with any regime, I mean, I challenge people, say you can bring on any regime in the entire history of mankind, and you do five comparisons. And number one is, you know, economic power. Uh-huh. And China, after joining WTO in 2001, from 2001 to 2021, their economic growth, so like GDP, they grow tenfold, literally
wow.
Tenfold. So 2021, now, if you look at 2000, China's GDP, that's actually a little bit more than today's Russia's GDP. So Russia's GDP today is like less than one-tenth of China. So if people still, you know, thinking about who is the bigger threat, Russia or China, you know, there's a clear picture there.
Yeah.
So number one, economic power. And also it's worth to mention, if you compare United States GDP with China, although it seems like we have a bigger economy, but if you do a GDP PPP, purchase price parity, because over there things are a lot cheaper in China. And if you do that comparison, China's GDP is up like close to 20%. It's about 18% more than U.S. GDP.
Okay. Well, so, getting away from the DDT, let me go to the CCP. Okay. Should there also be concern with the presence of the CCP in the United States, like with a specifically set police station in New York? You and I talked about that. Or what recently happened with an exhibit in California?
Oh, yeah. They are everywhere. They're everywhere. They set a fire in Southern California. They send their outpost police stations in New York. Mm-hmm. All that is our concern. But this is what happened after they have money, right? That's number one, economic power. Number two, the one you already mentioned, the military. They already have. They already have two aircraft carrier, and the third one is coming, yeah. And they already have their navy has a more battleship than U.S. Navy, and number four, of course, it's the technology. China is quickly catching on, thanks to all the U.S. corporations heavily invested in China, and number four, you do a comparison of the population, right?
Right.
So, and with any regime in the history, and number five, the history of Chinese communist regime killing its own people. I mean, it killed close to 80 million people ever since it took over control of China during the peacetime.
Yeah, and that was an article from the LA Times just recently, about the 80 million deaths. Let me ask you this, okay? Are there concerns over population and technology, or is this more about the military might and maybe the political power of China?
Yeah, it's the political power and military, and also the quick expansion that China right now, the Chinese regime, is doing around the world. So they are, have been doing a lot of military drill around Taiwan, and in South China Sea, Taiwan, South China Sea, that's a very strategically important region that, really bring huge challenge to the peace and stability of entire Indo-Pacific area. So that really bring a lot of concerns, you see. Especially you look at Japan. If they control China controls South China Sea, then Japan really become vulnerable because Japan is an island nation, one third of the economy, depending on foreign trade, and which makes South China Sea the lifeline of Japan's economy. So you can see that recently, Japan really started. They have a joint military drill with United States, Australia, UK. And even Germany and France. So you see all this going. Japan's really, really worried. And especially now you consider the North Korea, right? You look at North Korea, and then that's why the South Korea recently started saying they want to build their own nuclear weapons, because they are really facing three nuclear powers like North Korea, China, and Russia. This is right at their doorstep.
Hey, let me ask you real quick. Is there any reason North Korea could not, South Korea could not build their own nuclear plants?
Well, South Korea signed a treaty with the United States. They're not going to develop their own nuclear system. I think that treaty was signed, agreement was signed, back in 1991, and the United States are trying to just make the entire North Korea, South Korea, peninsula, without any nuclear weapon. But however, we already failed. I mean, right now North Korea already have nuclear weapons. So that South Korea right now is trying to say, hey, if he has it, why not let me have it? So yeah. that's kind of a mentality.
Darned if they do and darned if they don't. I changed the first word there. All right, what do you think of the overall goals of the China Committee should be? Is it a matter of gauging how much of a threat it could be or looking into a deeper aspect of what makes the CCP tick?
Well, I think there are a few things, at least, that the new China Committee can do. Number one, it's really make assessment of our military strength to see if it's prepared. So see American men and women are properly equipped, you know, against that kind of a threat. And number two, very important, you know, there are more, you know, it needs to be an immediate action to make some sort of legislature, basically to ban the U.S. investment that it will invest it. They will be investing into China's technology industry. I mean, that's just, you know, they use the, you know, U.S. technology immediately, almost once they get it, into their to build up their military strength and their intelligence force.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty much, you know, we need that kind of legislation right away. And number three, to try to make new legislation to encourage the U.S. industries to relocate the supply chains out of China. So that's three things they need to take immediate action. I hope this is committed, not some sort of a lip service like the ones that before. You know, I hope they really see some results.
Yep, you know, and we're almost out of time, but speaking of what's going on with China, you recently contributed to the new Epoch Times documentary, and it was called The Final War. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's a documentary that if you have anyone to log into our front page, you just type epochtimes.com on the front page, you can see that documentary called The Final War. It talks about the 100-year plot. A 100-year plot of the Chinese Communist regime. Ever since it took over control of China in 1949, they have a 100-year plot to take down the United States.
All right, and I want you to make sure you get this. All right, it's the epoch times.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Someone call it EPOS, someone call it EPIC. It's just a Canadian way or American way of calling it a little different.
Yeah, I'm going to use the Pig Latin way, right? The epochtimes.com, okay? And there are also various documentaries that are available over there at Epoch TV. So very busy there. Epoch, EPAC, E-P-O-C-H. You do that and you're going to reach it without any problem. You know, and the fact that the Chinese Navy took over the American Navy, I don't think people ever thought that would happen, especially after World War II. But, you know, I guess if you sleep at the wheel, then you're taking it in your own hands, so to speak. Hey, I appreciate the visit, Nansu, and look forward to our next visit. Remember, it's theepochtimes.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me, Chuck.
All right. Hey, coming up next, it's Mr. Judd Garrett. You know, Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, 1993. He probably has something to mention about that. But mainly we're going to talk about cheap morality. Cheap morality. Be right back.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mind you, Ben.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
This is Michael Medved, and my fiercely independent talk show will bring you the latest news and uncensored views from politics to pop culture. It's all there. And we want you to be part of the conversation. You can call us directly at 1-800-955-1776. That's every weekday afternoon from noon to 3 on CRN1.
Join Michael Medved weekdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on CRN.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder. Program note, when next we meet, let's see, my guest is going to be Dr. Jane M. Orient. She has an article entitled, Damar Hamlin Matters to You. Very interesting. And then, of course, Mr. Frank Savato with his Underground USA podcast, all the news from there. Right now, I want to go to the one and only Mr. Judd Garrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he then began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys, and served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys. Now, Judd has written two screenplays. He's a frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics and No Wind. That's his first published novel. Judd is married, father of 6 children, and remember his blog. You'll find it at objectivityistheobjective.com. Welcome back, Judd. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. We'll try to have a little time at the end there, and I'll find out. I know you worked as you worked with the Rams, okay, right? Did you ever work with those people that live in San Francisco, the 49ers?
No, it was never with the 49ers.
Okay, you're safe then. There you go. But we're going to get to a little bit of that, and I'll find out what you think about what's going on. Cheap morality is your latest, and you say at a recent pro-illegal immigration event, and it was held by the Arizona Senator Kristen Sinema, she asked the mayor of Somerton, Arizona, Geraldo Anaya, I guess, is that his name? A-N-A-Y-A?
Yes.
Okay. Why he supports unfettered immigration. And surprisingly, he said the quite thing out loud when he replied, are you ready? We need cheap labor. Yep, hit it right on the head there, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if you really listen to some of these Democrats and these liberals, you know, often enough, they will eventually tell you what their real agenda is. They'll talk a lot about you know, saving the refugees and you know, giving these illegal immigrants, you know, a chance at the American dream and things like that. But in the end, they just want the cheap labor.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes you think they got to have a beer or two before they'll tell you the truth, you know. And you said that the mayor there, Blunt, remarked by saying, I wouldn't call it cheap labor. I would call it affordable labor. I kind of
Go ahead. That was Senator Tom Tillis, a Republican from North Carolina, and he stepped in and he changed the mayor's remark and said, I wouldn't call it cheap labor.
Oh, I see.
I'd call it affordable labor. It's the same thing, but you know they have to put a little bit different spin on it.
You also sort of bring up the two words slave owners, a little comparison there.
Yeah, I mean, as I ended that last paragraph, you know, there was another, you know, form of affordable labor. It was called slavery.
Yeah.
You know, so we all know what these immigrants, you know, for a lot of people, what these immigrants are coming here for, and that's to do a lot of the work that needs to be done very cheaply, which is what slavery was.
Yeah, not much difference than what you say in China.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, not much difference from what was going on in the South 160
right.
years ago, and not much different than what's going on in China today, you know, with the sweatshops, the slave labor, the child labor. It's all about getting the work done as cheaply as possible.
You know, and I think, Judd, that people listen to what you and I are saying right now, and they're going, oh, no, you know. This is, you know, these people, you know, they're getting meals and they get to stay in hotels and you know, we're taking care of them and they're making more than money than they've ever made probably in their life. You know, I don't know. It's you got to realize also you're tearing up a family just to move to the United States, which used to be the greatest country in the world, by the way. It's kind of on a, I would say, a teetering situation right now. It's,
well,
the
Democrats are doing a great job at destroying it from being the greatest country in the world. That's their goal. That's one of the reasons why they hate Trump so much, is Trump wanted to make America great again, and to the liberals and to the Democrats, they don't want that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something, listener. We're going to kind of I'm going to let Judd tell you a little bit about, there is an adjustment on money. You know, you're thinking, well, they're doing this and doing that, but you know, sometimes you might be working for less, but you're also affecting what's going on around you, okay? We'll put it that way. Judd Garrett, and remember the website, Objectivity is the Objective. Objectivity is the Objective. And we'll be back in just a moment, more about this article, Cheap Morality. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Tom Hanks plays an angry, suicidal widower whose crusty exterior begins to melt through encounters with a struggling family that becomes his new neighbors in A Man Called Otto, now opening in select theaters.
What's your name?
Otto.
Otto?
O-T-T-O.
Are you always this unfriendly?
I am not unfriendly.
Okay, you're not. Every word you say is like a warm cuddle.
But this film is too dark with too many tragic elements to deliver the warm, cuddly feeling that fans usually expect from a Tom Hanks project. The structure of the film features many flashbacks that only slowly reveal the real wellsprings of the main character's bitterness and rage. The acting is solid, but the overall impact is more predictable than profound. Rated PG-13, despite some intense scenes of intended self-harm. 2.5 stars for A Man Called Otto.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest Judd Garrett, and discussing his latest cheap morality and basically taking advantage of a lot of people that from other countries. You know, it's like it's sort of like the apple in front of the horse, I guess, right, Judd?
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. I mean, the people who are pro illegal immigration, they don't really care about the illegal immigrants. They'll give that lip service, but all they care about is exploiting these people for their own purposes.
And as you say, destroying the sovereignty of the United States of America. And also in your next paragraph in this excellent article, it's you compare it to the sort of like the motivation. Pardon me, the motivation. For illegal immigration, hang on one second here. I got my cough button, and when I push it, it coughs. Anyway, the motivation for illegal immigration was the same motivation for slavery, cheap and affordable labor. I wondered, do you get anybody that disagrees with you whenever you talk to someone about this article?
No, not really. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean,
yeah.
If you think about it, the plantation owners needed people to, mm-hmm. Whatever it was, pick the cotton or whatever they needed to be done on their plantation. And if they could buy a slave to do it for them for free, then they would do it. It was the cheapest way of getting that work done. And now you look at illegal immigration as opposed to paying an American citizen, whatever it is, $15-$20 an hour to pick the strawberries or to pick the avocados. They want these illegal immigrants to come here, and they'll pay them, $1 an hour, $2 an hour. It drives up the owner's profit margins at the expense of these individuals.
Yeah, and you know, the amazing thing is, too, that the slave traders were getting their slaves that were captured by Africans. And now they're talking now they're talking about, you know, getting the reputation, what is it called, dear, the money?
Reparations.
Reparations, thank you, I'll be okay. Reparations in the state of California. It's going to be the first state that has to do it, and it was probably the only state that didn't have slaves at the time. The world is a crazy place. That's why it spins all the time, I guess, yeah. Then when you get into using slave labor or child labor, and we can mention shops in China, for example, that do that. So far, I don't think the United States has gotten that far, but I did have a few reports from some immigration guests that I had on, where there were actually some farms in the Midwest somewhere that were getting a lot of children that were working on these farms, and it was considered child labor. They were kind of paying off a debt for the families getting to stay at the farm or something.
That's the thing. It's all about getting the work done as cheaply as possible, so the owners can maximize their profits. I bring up Apple and Nike. I mean, they're the biggest exploiters of, you know, the Chinese sweatshops as much as anybody, and that allows them to produce their products as cheaply as possible. So when they sell it to America or Europe or wherever, they can get the most profit as they can.
Yeah, and even pro basketball got all tied up in the Nike thing, you know, because the Chinese, I guess, have the pro basketball games broadcast in China. It is amazing how far people that are already making, you know, millions of dollars a year will still, you know, take advantage of things like that. And especially when it comes to child labor, that's got to be the worst thing in the world. You mentioned, for example, Starbucks, $25 an hour, but could care less about the illegal immigrants who's working 12 hours a day under the scorching sun of Arizona for $2 per hour. Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you have these liberals, you know, who've been pounding the drum for years about increasing the minimum wage, so mm-hmm. you know, people at McDonald's or Starbucks are making $20-$25 an hour, and they really care about those people. But then they're also supporting the import of illegal immigrants into this country, which does two things. One, it drives down the wages for American citizens because they have to compete against the illegal immigrants. And two, bringing these illegal immigrants into the country, they're getting paid well below what the minimum wage is. That's why these companies want them in there. So the liberal, on the one hand, cares about the barista at Starbucks to make sure that she makes $25 an hour, but doesn't care about the poor illegal immigrant, you know, working under the hot sun for a couple bucks an hour.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how it is in Texas, all right, right now, but in California, and especially I'm in the Los Angeles area, you know, you can go to Taco Bell or you can go to McDonald's, anywhere you go where they have workers, you know, that are taking care of people, mainly serving people, it's always help wanted, help wanted, help wanted, all over the place. So then we get 250,000 immigrants coming in every month now, you know, and they're not going to, you don't have to have an ID to work at a lot of these places, or most of the places. But, you know, it's $15 an hour, right, in California. That's pretty good, $15 an hour. And you can be taking the job. And they always said, well, this is a job that an American wouldn't do, you know, washing dishes or waiting on tables. You know, that's a bunch of hogwash, because Americans have always been able to do just about any job. But it doesn't seem that there would be that many signs up. It seems like, you know, people would go in there and, you know, wait on somebody or whatever for $15 an hour. I consider that a pretty good wage.
Yeah, I mean, I see it all the time in Texas. There's a lot of the help wanted signs all over the place. And one of the issues with the illegal immigrants is that because they're here illegally, it's hard for them to get that McDonald's job because they don't have a Social Security number and all that. So they're doing all the pure manual labor that needs to be done in the fields and all that, where they can get paid under the table. And so they're working, they're getting paid, and they're not paying any taxes or anything like that. I mean, it's a whole underground economy that they got working.
Because you never see on the sign, you know, must have a Social Security number. You know what I mean? Some of them might tell you right off the bat that you got to speak English. That's really a number one qualification. I mean, that puts you ahead of the line there, you know, if you can speak English. Because you go in and order a taco, they got to know what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not always the case. I've had some people at McDonald's barely speak English. You know, you have to point to what you want.
Yeah. Pretty good. And these other, the people that are taking advantage, they just don't talk about all of the people that have died on the journey and all of the girls that have been taken advantage of, raped. You know, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, that years ago, we were talking about the one, especially coming up from the Northern Triangle, and the mothers and fathers were giving the daughters that they were paying the smugglers to get them across the border because they wanted them to have a better life, but they put them on birth control, and a lot of them are like 11 or 12 years old, because they knew what was going to happen on the way or when they got there. Terrible situation, and it shouldn't be that way. Nowhere in the world should it be that way. And you would think at one time America would stand up for the rest of the world, but now, you know, they've joined the whole whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, again, the legal immigration is not about, you know, helping these people out and allowing them to have the American dream, like we're always told, because thousands of immigrants, as you said, die on the journey, and the young girls are being raped. And you know, if we change the way we did the immigration system, as opposed, you know, we close the border and then we decide who gets to come in, and they're allowed to come in a very peaceful way, and we know who they are, you know, that would be able to solve a lot of the problems that we're seeing with illegal immigration. But the issue is that, as we talked before, these companies would have to pay these guest workers who are coming in a more reasonable wage, which would drive down their profit margin. So they'd rather have the illegal immigrants flood our border, thousands die on the trip, thousands of young girls get raped, all of that, just so they can pay people a little bit less money than they want.
And the figure you mentioned a couple of times in this article for the illegal immigrant is they're getting like $2 a day. Now, is this the young ones get $2 and maybe the others might get $5 a day or $4 a day if you're 21?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the exact number, but they're getting paid well below what our minimum wage is. And obviously, the more illegal immigrants that come into this country, the more those wages are driven down because they're competing against each other for those jobs. So that's why they want as many in as possible. So, you know, when they need a field to be picked, you know, it's better to have 100 illegal immigrants wanting those 20 jobs than, you know, 25 illegal immigrants. Because if it's 100, you can, as the owner, you can dictate the price. You can say, we'll do it for $2 an hour. You know, if there's only 20 there, then they can say, okay, we want more money. So that's why they want as many illegal immigrants in this country as possible. So they'll compete against each other to drive the wages down.
So in other words, whenever they make a law in California that says, okay, now the minimum wage is $15 an hour, unless you snuck across the border?
That's pretty much what it is. And again, raising the minimum wage actually gives an incentive to want to have more illegal immigrants come into the country, because these companies want to avoid paying that higher minimum wage.
I wonder, Judd, how many people go in and check out these restaurants, how much the people are getting paid? You know, it's not the border control that's responsible for that, right?
Well, I mean, a lot of these states and a lot of these cities have designated themselves sanctuary states and sanctuary cities,
right,
which means they're not going to investigate that. And even if they did stumble across it, if it has to do with an illegal immigrant, because it's a sanctuary state, they do not report them to ICE or anything like that. So they're allowed to keep doing what they're doing.
And then you transport all those illegal aliens from Texas into other so-called sanctuary cities, right? And they complain that you brought them there. It is amazing. Yeah, it's the double standard all up and down. I don't know.
It's the mayor of New York, Adams.
Yeah.
You know, when there was a number of busloads of illegal immigrants came to New York, he started complaining that they were draining the social services. I mean, how would you feel if you were the mayor of Del Rio, Texas, where it just wasn't, you know, five busloads, it's been, you know, 5,000 illegal immigrants every week into your community? I mean, talk about draining your social services. And, you know, this guy in the biggest city in America is complaining that, you know, a few hundred illegal immigrants is hurting their social services. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, when Trump was in office, you have to admit that he was trying to take care of some kind of rational, you know, immigration happenings going on. And he even had a good reason, you know, to go ahead and use the Article 42, I guess it was, COVID. But it was smart, you know, let them get over there and get checked out. But, oh, boy, Biden. And now there are a lot of people saying, you know, hey, the Democrats are out to get Biden to make sure he doesn't run for president again, because he's making a fool of them. So we'll see what happens on that. Hey, I got to tell you, listener. Go ahead.
I just say, you know, I think Biden has served his purpose. He was the president who was going to open the border and do all these other things. And now that he's done serving his purpose, they're going to run him out of there.
Yeah. Biden, Joe, let's see, what is it? Joe Corvette Biden. Yes, I think that's his. Hey, Judd, we got a minute before we have to take a break here, and I did want to get into the football thing here a little bit, okay? Because, as you know, listener, this guy, hey, he was with the Super Bowl Dallas champions back in 1993, and a 12-year coaching career with so many other fantastic football clubs, and he knows a lot about sports, and he also is a contributor to a lot of different avenues when they start talking about sports. So, okay, we're going to have the Jaguars and the Chiefs. This will be tomorrow, Jaguars, Chiefs, Giants, and Eagles. I'll let you tell me you think the Chiefs are going to win, right?
Yeah, the Chiefs should win that game. I think it's a little bit of a toss-up between the Giants and the Eagles because the Eagles haven't played very well recently, but they are healthier than they've ever been. So I give an edge to the Eagles, but that should be a good game.
All right, on Sunday, it's going to be easy for me, and I'll tell you this as we get ready to go on the break, and we'll be sure to then come back to the Cowboys and 49ers. But I'm betting on the team that starts with a B, okay, for the first game, the Bengals and the Bills. See if I make any money on that one. Yeah. All right,
yeah,
I'll work on that, yes. Anyway, I'll be right back and get your comments on that one. I just said I'd pick the team with a B, and it sounded really clever when I first thought of it. Judd Garrett, and remember the website there, okay? His blog, Objectivity, is theobjective.com. Some of the best articles you'll ever, ever, ever read. Objectivity is theobjective.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN with Judd Garrett. Okay, Judd, the Bengals and the Bills, your pick on this?
Yeah, I think the Bills are a better team. They should win, but for some reason the Bengals usually play the Bills pretty well, so I wouldn't be surprised for an upset, but I'm still picking the Bills.
All right, and then the Cowboys and the 49ers. You know, the Cowboys, I'm telling you, man, that game last week was something else. And I don't think it was just that Tom Brady was off. I know he kept a couple of times he was acting like, you know, the Raiders' ex-quarterback there. It's your fault. You should have turned right. You should have turned left. But the Cowboys, it's like all of a sudden they woke up.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys, you know, they're a little bit of a front runner. They'll play really well in some games and then be really off in other games. I think this game's going to come down to, I think, the 49ers quarterback, the young kid, Purdy. If he's able to play the way he's been playing the last, you know, since he's been put in as the starter and not make any key mistakes, I think the 49ers will end up winning. But if he throws a couple interceptions or turns the ball over, that's going to give the Cowboys the momentum to go win that game.
I got to ask you, because you're an expert on this, the quarterback, Purdy, for the 49ers, okay? If you put extra men to try to get him, are you really taking a chance that somebody's going to complete a pass that should not have been completed? Or what's the big disadvantage of going after the quarterback with more men than usual?
I think you covered it. I mean, what happens is when you blitz, you bring five or six rushers, you're taking one or two guys out of the secondary, out of coverage. you either got to play man coverage, which is risky, or if you play zone, you don't have as many guys covering all the zones. So there's big holes in there. So if the rushers don't get to the quarterback on time, there'll be you know, a lot of room for the receivers to get open and make big plays. So if you do blitz, we always say if you do blitz, you got to get home. You got to get to the quarterback before he throws the ball. So
right. Yeah.
It is a chance.
Don't let him throw the ball.
They'll blitz this young quarterback. They'll try to rattle him. They'll try to get him into throwing an interception or holding the ball too long and fumbling. So, yeah, he'll get a lot of blitzes in this game.
And, you know, the big question for those who've watched and tuned in the next day was to find out if the Cowboys had fired their field goal kicker. But you give the coach credit. He just says, you know, everybody has a bad day. But, boy, you better hope he doesn't have a bad day on Sunday, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know Brett Maher fairly well. I mean, you know, he was there when I was there the last couple of years. And, you know, he's a good kicker. He does have a little bit of inconsistency, and it showed up the other night. But let's hope that he gets his head back on straight and starts kicking the ball through the uprights.
Well, at least he holds a record now, huh?
Yeah, it's not really the record you want to have.
Yeah, so. You know him. You should send him a congratulations card, you know, just see what happened, you know. And then he'll go around saying, Judd who? Yes, I know. But I'll never say that because I appreciate every Friday when I get a chance to talk to Judd Garrett. And, boy, so much input from so many different angles there, Judd. And you're a great writer and a great football player and a great coach. And, well, and you're a great – what was the word I'm looking for? Well, you're very smart because you came on this show. Okay, I got it. Judd Garrett, appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Objectivity is the objective.com. Well, Selwyn Duke is coming up, and one of his is entitled, hope we get to it, Dress 'em Down. Yes, you got it. Dress 'em Down. We'll be right back. CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here with Suede at the network. We are live across America and also around the world at crntalk.com. It is always a pleasure to welcome the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American, and Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television, frequent guest on great radio programs, and his website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .dot.com. All right, and now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke. All righty. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, it's always a pleasure. How you doing there, Mr. Duke?
Not bad at all. How are you, Chuck?
You did good. We could probably go on the road. I think there are some people.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, and I think some people are saying right now, I'll contribute to you, both of you, getting on the road. Yeah, right there on the white line. I'll tell you.
You guys are on a roll today. Suede had a good one while we were talking before the show. I'm telling you. Well, you guys could go on the road.
Well, knowing his, I don't know, could you tell it on the air?
Yeah, I could, actually. I could. Why, you want to hear it?
Yeah, I do. I want to make sure he's not stealing what I'm writing to him on the instant message.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He said
okay.
He was going to put me on the board. I said, what do you say? You're going to get me bored? And he said, no, I'm sure I could do that. And I said, well, you know what Chesterton said? There are no uninteresting subjects, only uninterested people. And he said, well, I'm going to have to tell that to my ex-girlfriend.
He didn't mention that he has, what is it? I think it's 9 or 10. Anyway, and this is for the last half of last year and the first couple weeks in January. Yes, okay, yes. He's. I don't know what it is. Why would women get so upset because you want them to pay the bill? You know, I just, it's supposed to be all, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it's that feminism, you know. The feminists, they want traditionalism when it suits them, but then they want to be liberated when that suits them. I think that's it, Chuck.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You talk about men and women, okay? This very first article we're going to discuss, listener, is kind of interesting, all right? Because it is about a black Republican's white wife. Yes? Some people out there are saying, really? Yeah. Well, I guess she says that the most racist attacks on us are always from the left. Mm-hmm. Does that surprise you?
Doesn't surprise me, Chuck. In fact, I know it doesn't surprise you either, because we know there's a history of this, and I start out in my article with that. I point out that back in 2008 in your state, they had Proposition 8, which was that proposition to define marriage as what it is between a man and a woman. Anyway, it passed, and you had these anti-Proposition 8 protesters, and they were very upset. And a couple of them actually were black, but they were impugned, and they were called names by other left-wing protesters because 70% of black Californians at the time had voted for Proposition 8 and had helped it to pass. I mean, they were the reason why it passed, really. And one of them said that these left-wing protesters called him the N-word. And he said, quote, "It was like being at a Klan rally, except the Klansmen were wearing Abercrombie polos and Birkenstocks." So anyway, we've got a history of this, like I said. And now we get to today's story. You have Byron Donalds. Well, he's that black Republican from California, and he achieved some publicity recently because he was suggested.
Let me ask you real quick, because you said California, but I think you said Florida House Republican.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, Proposition 8, that was in California, as you know. That was years ago.
Yeah, okay.
And I was just giving an example. Yeah, and now we're going to Byron Donalds to today. Sorry, I went back in time there. I guess I'm confusing
sometimes.
I see.
When you back up on me, you know, go ahead.
Well, I know what it is. When I back up, I've got to make one of those beeping noises like the trucks do. I was almost going to do it myself,
you know, and you got it there first. Okay. Boy, great minds think the same, huh? Yes. Lucky I took my no-dose today.
So,
go ahead, sir.
Anyway, Byron Donalds, he achieved some publicity recently, Chuck, because he was suggested as an alternative to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy when they were having the speaker battle. You know, for a long time it went on because the MAGA Republicans didn't want McCarthy. Well, anyway, so Donalds, he has a white wife, and because he achieved all this publicity, and because, of course, the left-wingers don't like conservatives, they started getting some racial abuse, according to Erica Donalds, the congressman's wife. So anyway, she was saying that the worst attacks we experience are always from the left. That's what she said. She said, quote, "They can't accept that a free-thinking black man achieves success on his own merits, and they sure as heck can't stand that he's married to me." Again, she's a white woman. Then she said, "Cry harder, haters." So anyway, then she included some screenshots of the racial abuse that they've had to endure. One of them said that she was a white fascist wife, and then others just pointed out that, oh, it's so typical that he has a white wife. That doesn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can give you a few verbatim. Yeah, one said, "No surprise, he has a snowflake for a wife."
Snowflake for and a wife, man.
A snowflake for a wife, yeah.
I know, yeah.
Another
really
one said, "I'm embarrassed and ashamed. Seen his wife, I'm not surprised." And so anyway, then other users called Donalds, that is the congressman now, a prop. Hmm. And this is similar to how this was hurled by Cori Bush. You know, she's that congresswoman. She also called Donalds a prop. And it's interesting, Chuck, that this comes from the left, because they're the ones who use people as props all the time. Isn't that the case? I mean, they have Greta Thunberg. She was put up there as a prop when she was younger because they love, the left does, using children as human props because it's really great. They
By make the way, I think she just got through doing a thing yesterday at Davos or something, or the day before. They brought her back. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should mention that because actually their prop is rebelling against them a little bit because she was critical of the pseudo-elites at Davos. She was saying that they're part of the problem of, quote, climate change. But anyway, so sometimes the monster you create turns on you. That's the lesson there. But
I think she's trying to get money from both sides in a way, but go ahead.
Maybe. I mean, I think she's a true believer, too. She's got some problems inside her head also, we have to understand. But anyway, I was just saying that the left-wingers are always using kids and others as props because they figure, hey, I make a kid a spokesman for my cause, and then if someone attacks them, I can say, why, how dare you attack a child? You know, so they try to disarm the opposition that way. But anyway, so Erica Donalds, the congressman's wife, she provided many examples of this racial abuse that they had to endure. But here's the thing. She said, Chuck, well, the worst abuse we've always gotten has been from the left. And some people might say, well, that's very odd because isn't the stereotype that it's right-wingers who might be racist? I mean, that's what the mainstream media and the whole establishment want us to believe anyway. But the truth is, as with the 2008 example I provided having to do with Proposition 8, we've seen this for a long time. Now, let's look at the left. They're not prejudiced, right? They tell us that all the time. I mean, they don't exhibit, for instance, prejudice against men, do they? Except they talk about toxic masculinity. And they don't exhibit prejudice against whites, right? Well, they talk about white fragility. And then we have Christians. They talk about intolerant fundies. And we have conservatives, of course. And we know, Chuck, that Biden called Trump supporters recently semi-fascists. Okay, so we actually see prejudice from them all the time. Now, understand what the word prejudice means. Prejudice means to prejudge, as the word indicates, without proper knowledge and examination of the facts. And, of course, this often leads to the drawing of incorrect conclusions. Okay? So we see this prejudice from the left, and this is why we've heard stories, for instance, such as that about Yale lecturer Aruna Kilanani, yeah, that's her name. She, quote, described her desire to unload a revolver into the heads of white people during a lecture to Yale School of Medicine. And I'm quoting the Federalist there. And then, of course, we had ex-CNN figure Reza Aslan, Chuck. In 2019, get this, he called all Trump voters, quote, white nationalist terrorist supporters, unquote, and wrote that Trump's, quote, evil racist scourge must be eradicated from society.
Man.
Talk about violent rhetoric. Okay, but that's the kind of prejudice we're used to seeing from the left. Some may still wonder, well, wait a second. What about this apparent anti-black bigotry from these people on the left? Because they claim to be champions of people of color. Okay, well, it's not just the examples I gave, Chuck. There are others. For instance, last year we had that situation in Los Angeles, in your state. We had that Democrat Nuri Martinez. She was part of the LA City Council. She was the president, actually, and she was forced to resign because she was accused of making racist and derogatory comments about blacks and other groups.
Yeah, and it wasn't funny, it was about a little black boy, you know? And I remember years and years and years and years ago, whenever I'd heard the comments she made that people had used, you know, comparing little black children to some kind of animal or whatever, right? And how stupid, how you would think, and especially if you've been elected, you know, in one of the largest cities in the United States, you know, and there you are sitting on the top of the world and you're female and you're, hey, you've accomplished so much, and all of a sudden, wow. You know, that's why they have off and on switches on microphones, okay?
Yeah.
Not that you and I would know.
Yeah, I have to say, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Los Angeles, and I will point out that Los Angeles is 70% non-white, and I'll also point out, I know no one wants to hear this, or many people don't want to hear this, but there's no political correctness in these minority communities, and there's a lot more prejudice than a lot of people might want to admit.
Right, right.
You know, friction between the Hispanics and the blacks, for instance. But anyway, I also point out in my article talking about prejudice and the history of the left that, remember this, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger and famed writer George Bernard Shaw, who's a socialist, right. You know what they were? They were big racial eugenicists. And, of course, eugenics is the science of trying to, quote, improve the human race.
Uh-huh. Margaret Sanger, for some reason, you're cutting out there, Selwyn. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah. For some reason, yeah. I don't know if it's you're not sitting there tapping on your cutout button, are you? And see, it's gone again. Maybe it was the comment you made about suede. Maybe that's what it was. Oh, there you are. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I paid him a compliment there. Now I paid him
a compliment. And I don't.
All right.
I don't know why you'd be cutting off and on. Normally it's me that's cutting off and on, you know. And that's when my dog or my cat. Yeah, Swade says he's not sure what's
okay.
happening. Well, we knew that the day they hired you. Whenever you're not sure what. No. Anyway, Margaret Sanger, because we're coming up on the break. A lot of people don't know the history about her. And you know what, Selwyn? I'm going to let you tell them about, you know, her lovely foundation that she started and why and all this stuff. And yeah, and I think you know about it. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. We have been saved by the break, and we're going to be right back with the one and only Selwyn Duke, and it's SELWYN Duke, DUKE.com. SelwynDuke.com. Be back.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Attention, real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here. And my guest is Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And somehow, I don't know if he was flipping his switch, you know, like we can do it when we need to cough or something like that. You want to see how that works, listener? Okay, hang on. I'm going to push the button. See how it works? Yes, anyway. So we're going to see if Sway can connect up there with him again. Meanwhile, you know, when he was talking about, in this article that we're discussing, Black Republicans' White Wife, and she says the most racist attacks on us are always from the left. And, you know, it's sometimes you need to, you know, do a little bit of history, because whenever you talk about Planned Parenthood, the founder, Margaret Sanger, she did that because her main objective was to eliminate as many blacks as possible. Check out. Go ahead. Check it out. You'll see. And it surprises you that, you know, whenever you start talking about abortion and Planned Parenthood and people will protest, you know, because of Wade versus Roe and et cetera, et cetera. And then whenever you see blacks that are saying, no, you've got to leave Planned Parenthood open. Planned Parenthood must be open. You know, just go back into history a little bit and realize what they were trying to do to you at the time. Not very pleasant. To understand, you got to consider that operating on emotion, as Selwyn says, guarantees prejudgment, which is prejudice, because emotion isn't about proper knowledge and examination of the facts. That's the intellect's role. And to analyze it, you may dislike any food you please without explanation, right? You dislike it simply because you dislike it. It's not a result of logic analysis, and that's fine because it's a matter of taste, and you may dislike a food without even trying it, just based on smell or appearance. And it said, there's no accounting for taste. Very clever. Selwyn, there you are back. Did you finally take your finger off the delete button there, huh? Did you?
Yeah, Chuck. I'm on my cell phone now. I hope you can hear me okay.
What?
Anyway,
what?
I'm on my cell phone now. Can you hear me okay?
What? Yes, I can. I'm just going,
yeah.
What?
Okay, all right.
See
yeah,
if my lights went up any brighter when I say what? Never mind. I gave him the thing about Margaret Sanger, and her whole idea was to try to get rid of as many blacks as possible. Okay, so I just let you know where I'm at here. All righty.
Right. Okay, terrific. Yeah, absolutely. So sorry about that. My internet service had cut out. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I heard you were talking about the nature of liberalism or leftism and what leads to this prejudiced attitude that they tend to have. And anyway, yeah, I mean, we have to understand, like I've often said over the years, you have to remember that what characterizes the left is moral relativism. They don't believe in truth. And when you don't have truth to use as your yardstick for making moral decisions, the only thing you do have left, the most compelling thing you have left as a yardstick, is your emotion. Okay? And emotion is where prejudice resides. Prejudice is where you prejudge, like I said before the break, things without due consideration of the facts. And emotion does not concern itself with facts or reason. Emotion is just about what feels right to you. So this is why liberals, why leftists are so emotion-oriented, and that's why they're so prejudiced, because if you just go by what feels right, well, then when someone feels wrong, you're not going to like the person. I mean, I heard what you were saying there while I was gone, my food analogy. You know, food is just a matter of taste. If you dislike something, you don't have to explain why. You just dislike it because you dislike it, and there's no accounting for taste. And when you don't believe in truth, then what happens is everything becomes a matter of preference. Everything becomes a matter of taste, including people. So, in other words, then why would you not go with your emotions? And who is there or what is there to say that it's wrong to be hateful or wrong to be prejudiced? There's nothing at all when you don't believe in truth. Everything then boils down to what Aleister Crowley, the occultist, said when he stated, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." So anyway, that's why leftists really are more prejudiced than anyone else. And it's also why when they say, they care about blacks or whatever, it's all nonsense. They care about what suits their emotions at the moment.
As we go into this break, Selwyn writes, "In a nutshell, when you operate on preference and not principle, your guiding principle will be prejudice. That guy is so smart." We're going to be right back, and it's coming up. Dress them down. Don't get too carried away. The title sometimes can confuse you. We shall return in just a moment.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Tom Hanks plays an angry, suicidal widower whose crusty exterior begins to melt through encounters with a struggling family that becomes his new neighbors in A Man Called Otto, now opening in select theaters.
What's your name?
Otto.
Otto?
O-T-T-O.
Are you always this unfriendly?
I am not unfriendly.
Okay, you're not. Every word you say is like a warm cuddle.
But this film is too dark with too many tragic elements to deliver the warm, cuddly feeling that fans usually expect from a Tom Hanks project. The structure of the film features many flashbacks that only slowly reveal the real wellsprings of the main character's bitterness and rage. The acting is solid, but the overall impact is more predictable than profound. Rated PG-13, despite some intense scenes of intended self-harm. 2.5 stars for A Man Called Otto.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain? Pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her. Me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man Pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills, going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American, and his website, selwynduke.com. Want to get to this one now. It's entitled, Dress 'em Down. Democrats once again oppose equality. And it has to do with dresses. New dress code for women. Kind of, I heard about this when it happened there, and I kind of, first thing I thought about, oh, I bet they want him to look sexier or something like that. But Selwyn will explain it to us all.
Yep, I will try to do that, Chuck. And hopefully I'm not going to have any more other technical problems here. That was very disconcerting. Anyhow, so
happens
this
to
is
the best
in Missouri.
Of us, you know.
Yeah, even happens to me.
Well, I remember, you know, when I ran a red light, I said, nope, hey, my right foot just went out of control. I had nothing to do with it. It just stepped on that accelerator and... go ahead.
That's how it's going to be, Chuck. You'll be able to use that excuse once the government puts a chip in all of our heads. You realize that? Yeah, it had nothing to do with me.
Okay.
So, anyway, this has to do with the Missouri House. They have a new dress code for the female legislators. And if you read the mainstream media, you might get the idea that the Taliban is coming with their full-length burqas because they're saying, well, the female legislators' shoulders have to be covered. And so many Democrats and media types are up in arms. But here's what they don't tell you, some of the media anyway. This new dress code, a revised dress code, just makes it so that it's going to approximate the dress code that the male legislators are already subject to. So it's simply a movement towards equality. That's all it is. So anyway, this happened last Wednesday, I believe it was. The Missouri lawmakers, like I said, they adopted a new dress code. It passed with a vote of 105-51. I think there are 52 Democrats in that chamber, so presumably most all of them voted against it. Anyway, like I said, a lot of the leftists are up in arms. This movement against it even has its own hashtag, hashtag Sweatergate. And then there's this Missouri representative, Chuck. Her name is Ashley Aun, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
A-U-N-A.
And she says, I never thought my first national interview would be about what I can and cannot wear as a female lawmaker. Okay, so anyway, it's really interesting, though. She's rebelling against something that's just a movement towards equality, like I said. And, you know, it's interesting because the larger issue here, Chuck, is we often have debates about dress codes, whether they're in school or whatever. Up in Canada, you have that ridiculous male teacher who's dressing like a woman and wearing huge, enormous prosthetic breasts.
Yeah.
But the point is...
Do you ever watch Gutfield?
Yeah, once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that's carrying that on more than anybody on television. He will not let it go, and I'm glad. I mean, it's one of the most stupidest things, and if you haven't seen it, you know, he shows her all the time. I'm sorry, shows him with a gigantic breast all the time, and it's an interesting picture. So just picture's worth a thousand words, right? Yes.
It's also interesting because just one of those phony mammary glands, Chuck, is bigger than Greg Gutfeld. I love Greg. I'm just kidding around. Greg. All in good fun.
He always talks about, you know, he needs a little step-up stool to get in the chair there. So, you know. But let me ask you, when I first saw this, you know, dress them down, Democrats once again oppose equality. But before I even saw it, I thought, you know, here, do they want him to dress to be more sexy, you know? And then you were talking about how people, you know, have always had to put up with this stuff and everything. See, the military, you know, there's no ands, ifs, or buts. You know, here's the Navy uniform, here's the Army uniform, and here's the Marines uniform, which really probably outdoes all of them, seriously, even though I was in the Navy. You know, the Navy, it was sort of like you kept thinking, you know, your bell bottoms were going to make you walk faster or take off in the air or something. You know what I mean? In the military, you can't complain about what they're telling you to wear. So, but why in the world would they even make a big deal out of this all of a sudden? Somebody just sat around and said, oh, I think we should have a dress code for women or whatever, didn't have anything else to do, even though supposedly they're elected to carry out some, political stuff.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember they had a dress code for both women and men, but the dress code for men was more stringent, and obviously there were some female legislators who were dressing inappropriately, so they had to make their dress code more stringent as well. And that only makes sense. And, you know, like I was saying, the larger issue of dress codes is very, very significant. People will argue about them, and people on the left like to inveigh against them. But at the end of the day, unless you believe that someone should be allowed to enter the Missouri State House chamber or a school au naturel, wearing nothing, you believe in a dress code just like everyone else. It's just a matter of where you draw the line. That's all. And if you have a problem with the women's dress code in Missouri being made closer to that is slapped upon the men, then you have a problem with equality. And it's interesting because all these feminists and the male feminists too, like Aun, she's the female legislator, you know, they only cry about movements towards equality when those movements they find disadvantageous or don't please them. But when they can get something they want, the leftists, then all of a sudden they're very, very well, they have no problem at all using equality appeals. Like, for instance, I point out in my piece, Chuck, that last year Nantucket actually approved a bylaw that will allow women to go topless on all town beaches, okay? And why did they do this? They did this, quote, in order to promote equality for all persons, equality for all persons.
Could we move Congress to Nantucket?
Well, I was going to say, in unrelated news, I hear that Bill Clinton is planning for this coming summer a trip to Nantucket.
Yeah.
But
and I heard that there is a possibility of that because Nancy Pelosi's now gone. They wouldn't do it until she got a that's not very nice,
yeah.
I know.
Okay. Yeah, well, Nancy Pelosi's not very nice, let's face it.
Yeah, really.
But no, I mean, the point is, when it's a matter of dumbing down dress codes and doing something completely inappropriate like that, then all of a sudden an equality appeal is used. But when it's a matter of making a dress code more formal so that you're enforcing or securing a state of propriety, then all of a sudden an equality appeal is no good. If it's a movement towards equality, the left has a problem with it. And this just vindicates what I've always said, Chuck, that the left's talk, and everyone's talk really about equality, is pure and utter nonsense because people don't really believe in it. It's ploy and not principle. So anyway, let's move on here. You know, I want to point out that this revised dress code in Missouri was actually proposed by a woman. Republican Representative Ann Kelly, and she introduced the amendment, and she said herself, and I'm quoting here ABC, it, quote, cleans up language and current House rules so that the dress code for women will mirror the dress code for men. And then she said, it is essential to always maintain a formal and professional atmosphere on House floor, and to ensure this happens, I have felt compelled to offer this amendment. And, you know, I pointed out in my article, understand that the female legislators are still going to have more sartorial latitude, you might say, than the men. Because what are they going to be required to do? Well, they'll be required to wear a jacket, but no tie. The men have to wear a tie. And that could include blazers and knit blazers. But also, they could just wear a cardigan if they want. Men, though, they have to wear a jacket, shirt, and tie. So not quite equality, but it's a movement towards it. And, you know, Chuck, again, the larger issue is that it's very important to maintain propriety. And dress tells you a lot. For instance, you mentioned the military. Why do they all dress the same way in a given service? Mm-hmm. They do that because that tells them what their role is. They're all part of one group that's supposed to be working together. Or if you go to someone's funeral or to someone's wedding, you're not going to dress informally. You would realize that that was a sign of disrespect. You dress formally. So
You want dress that's going to help to facilitate the kind of mindset that you should have in the given situation. If you go to the beach, you can wear a bathing suit. That's fine. But you wouldn't walk into a wedding that way or the Missouri House Chamber because, again, you're supposed to have a different mentality, and the dress you have is supposed to reflect that mentality. It's very, very important. You know, this harks back to something I think Edmund Burke said about how manners are more important than laws. This is part of that because he was saying manners are what vex and soothe, so on and so forth. Mm. It's very, very important. And part of the problem in our society today is that we've dumbed down standards across the board, and you can see it. Things just get worse and worse and worse. I mean, you have kids going to school now wearing pajama bottoms, which wouldn't have been accepted even when I was younger.
Oh, you even see grown-up women doing that in a grocery store, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you have to say, where does it end? I mean, standards really do matter. And when you don't have those standards, then what happens? And we've seen it in schools. You have kids dressed as furries. That's happening at Greenwich Middle School, by the way, here in Connecticut. They can actually do that. They're allowed to dress as animals because that's their identity, and the teachers aren't supposed to question it. You've got that teacher we were talking up in Canada with the prosthetic breasts. Well, that's his thing. Who to say it's wrong? And even if you don't go that far, well, you have kids with colored hair and wearing all sorts of suggestive outfits and body piercings and tattoos and you name it. And that correlates with a lot of other negative things.
You know, and Selwyn,
you have that. Yeah.
If what you're talking about, you know, and you and I is that just about everybody notices what you're mentioning and I'm mentioning about, pardon me, what they're wearing. And in your article, you said returning to Representative Anne, is that her name? A-U-N-E.
Yeah. Yeah.
She made that statement, you know, that, and it's right on, I think. And she says she told CBS. Asking her fellow lawmakers, quote, do you know what it feels like to have a bunch of men in this room looking at your top, trying to decide whether it's appropriate or not? Because this new regulation, that's exactly what it does. It just, you know, draws attention. You know, oh, let's check this, check out now, right? You know, and that's what they didn't want in the first place.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, like I pointed out, Chuck, you know, if she would just dress appropriately, it wouldn't even be a question.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I said, the men have that stringent dress code that they have to adhere to.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the thing is, though, as I point out at the end of my article, you know, it's not really about equality. I was using the equality argument because I was trying to illustrate how hypocritical the left is. The truth is the issue here is modesty. That's the real issue, which is a reflection of a virtue. And modesty can, in fact, dictate different rules for the sexes. I'll be the first to say that because the sexes are inherently different. So if you go to the beach, yeah, men can be topless, but women shouldn't be because there are differences. But unfortunately, society doesn't necessarily operate that way right now. We have leftists who'll talk about equality when that's convenient, equity when that's convenient. So I was just pointing out their hypocrisy. But really, as I conclude my article with, the thing you really have to ask these leftists first when they start talking about how oppressive this is to women is, what is a woman? You know, Chuck, I really would ask them that question, for instance, this Representative Allen, because I'd put her on the spot. Because the leftists are the ones who don't want to define what a woman is because they're pandering to the so-called transgender agenda. But then, when it comes to something like this, they know exactly what a woman is. So, what is a woman? Define your terms, Representative Allen. What are you talking about?
You're absolutely right. And just as a disclaimer, by the way, if Selwyn or Chuck is on a beach and you happen to run into us, don't worry about it because we have appropriate tops, okay? There. It's all those muscles, right, Selwyn?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's why they whistle. Yeah. That's why they whistle. Okay. Very little time, but the Wisconsin GOP takes a stand for freedom and suspends conversion therapy ban. This is another one that Selwyn did, and we can kind of hit on the – well, I'll let Selwyn hit on the important points on this one. But basically, the Wisconsin GOP, Selwyn writes, has finally stopped being conservative at least in one area, and it's a good thing. Would that area be the office?
Well, what I was saying is that's sort of a hook, because that might raise some eyebrows. What do you mean? Well, I mean conservative in the sense of conserving leftists' mistakes. You know, I often quote Chesterton here, the business of progressives is to go on making mistakes. The business of the conservatives is to make sure mistakes aren't corrected. So anyway, we're talking here about reparative therapy, which is often called pejoratively conversion therapy by the mainstream media. Now, what is that? Well, that is therapy that seeks to rid people of undesired homosexual feelings or, quote, transgender, which I call the must made-up sexual status agenda, transgender feelings, or any other feelings that relate to disordered sexuality that people don't want. Okay, so you have someone here who doesn't want to have these feelings, and he wants to go to a therapist who's willing to try to help him, but 20 states, Chuck, and Washington, D.C., have outlawed that voluntary arrangement. According to them, you can't do that, but yet the people who outlaw this, Chuck, are the same kinds of people who busy themselves trying to convert children into sexual devolutionaries in Passions and Practice. And what I mean is they accost people with lewd and inappropriate children, I'm talking about now, sex education. They tell them they can switch sexes if that's what they want to do, if that's their identity. I mean, all sorts of things that really corrupt these kids. So anyway, this ban was suspended, like I said, by these Wisconsin Republicans. To be precise, the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules. It was passed by a party line vote, 6-4. The GOP was in the majority. And the GOP could not completely eliminate the ban, which was instituted by the Department of Safety and Public Standards, because to do that, they would have to have the governor sign on to it, and the governor is a Democrat. Evers is his name.
All right. More on that when we return with the one and only Selwyn Duke. Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32. Hi, this is Jeremy Dayton. Join me Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific on Truth Radio, where we'll unpack the cultural baggage and discern what truth is amongst the sea of disinformation, the truth from God's perspective. With powerful guest testimonies, we'll also expose lies of the world created to spread fear and confusion. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Let's do that by seeking God's truth together. Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific on CRN6.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here with Selwyn Duke, and we've been discussing Wisconsin GOP takes a stand for freedom and suspends conversion therapy ban. And Associated Press, Selwyn writes in an interview Wednesday, said that the licensing board had no authority under the state law for reinstatement. And then the Democrats cried foul. And then we get down to the Daily Mail senior health reporter, what is it, Cassidy Morrison? What kind of intelligence did she come up with? Are you there, Selwyn?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm sorry. Another technical issue there. You can hear me, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like you're on your real phone now.
Yeah. She was saying that this therapy here was outlawed in Wisconsin in 2020, and I pointed out, no, it was never outlawed there because it was a rule that was instituted by a bureaucracy, that DSPS and bureaucracies have no power to create law. That's the role of legislatures. Bureaucracies can only create rules, and the Republicans in Wisconsin, their argument was that this bureaucracy had overstepped its bounds, which of course happens all the time. We see that in our society, Chuck. It's a real problem where we have in Washington, D.C., for instance, this permanent bureaucracy that's been established. It's often called the deep state, that can foist rules on us that haven't been passed by our duly elected representatives, and that in many cases are unconstitutional. But enough about that. I do want to move on because time is short. You know, you'll hear about this reparative therapy. And again, the idea is that if someone comes to a therapist voluntarily because he wants to be rid of so-called transgender feelings, he should be able to do that. They'll say, oh, this has been discredited in the mainstream media, or a consensus of medical organizations say it's invalid. First of all, mainstream medical organizations are all in the tank for the left. These are the same organizations that mismanaged COVID. But second, when you hear consensus spoken about with respect to science, Chuck, you know that you're being subjected to a con, because consensus is not a term of science, it's a term of politics. You would never say, for instance, consensus holds that the sun is 93 million miles from the Earth, or consensus holds that force equals mass times acceleration. No, those are scientific facts. If you have the facts, you cite them. Science is about providing results that are reproducible. That's what science is about. It's not consensus. When you have consensus, it means the people don't have the facts. And of course, if you don't have the facts, you shouldn't be trying to shut down the other side and get them out of the debate. But that's exactly what happens here with these liberals who want to outlaw this reparative therapy. And like I said, in a nutshell, it's really simple. They'll say, hey, we can tell a boy that he can become a girl if he wants to. That's okay. But if that same boy then wants to be rid of those feelings that he is a girl and wants to go to a therapist, no, we're not going to allow that because we care so much about democracy.
Yeah.
That's the left's message. Yeah, they really care about freedom and democracy. The worst tyrants around.
Muss, made up sexual status. That's Selwyn Duke is famous for that word, M-U-S-S, all right? And you also say here, likewise, there is no evidence homosexuality is inborn. No evidence
Correct.
At all. Hey, Selwyn, we got through here, no problems. And I appreciate it. Look forward to the next visit. You can get all of these great reports from Selwyn Duke. Just go to Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. Appreciate it, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Chuck, and God bless.
Yep. Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you very much, Suede, for all of your input. Great operation there. Kept everybody on the air. See, that's what they get paid for, of course. And God bless the United States of America.